Welcome to Coastline Church, seeking renewed faith in Humboldt County by being settled and secure in God's love. To learn more, visit coastline4square.com.
Well, totally, yes. Another happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful moms, and I hope that you are treated like the royal princess that you truly are. And we celebrate you, and we celebrate your mom and her mom and her mom and her mom and her mom. Because we did not get here by ourselves. So what is a mom? Oh, yeah, she's a lot. She's a lot. The adjectives could go on and on, and here's just a few. She is loving, compassionate, enduring, kind, protective, strong, extraordinary, intuitive, caring, and mindful. That's a heavy load, but we can do it. So I asked my daughter when I was doing this at home and I was taking care of her, I just got off a stint of 10 days taking care of my grandson is going to be 13 and my granddaughter is 9 going on 21. So it was a lot of work, but only to get them to their functions. You know, it was a lot of legwork, but they are such the best children, thank God. So I asked her if her daughter, my Melody, had these qualities. And she said a resounding yes. And then she added, and she's funny too. So she's the complete package. You know, a sense of humor is so necessary. It's a necessary quality for motherhood. You better have a sense of humor. Okay, it's going to be tested. And since you have now, you better have a sense of humor because now you're, as an adult, you've become a slave to a newborn, right? Your life is no longer your own. You're never alone again. You never get to go to the bathroom by yourself anymore. You're never alone in bed. And did you know that sleeping with a toddler is like sleeping with an octopus searching for its keys? And forget quiet.
Yeah.
There's no more quiet in the house. Little Johnny's new baby brother was screaming up a storm, and he asked his mom, "Where did we get him?" And his mother replied, "He came from heaven, Johnny." And Johnny exclaimed, "Wow, I can see why they threw him out." So when I became a mom, it was the most monumental, indescribable, pivot point, life-changing event in my whole life. I was never the same. And I am the most blessed mother on the face of this earth, I feel. And I tell people that often. And I was never the same. I mean, once you have a baby, you are never the same. And physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and emphasis on that physical and emotional, you will never be the same. So how did all this start, right? Way back in the beginning, God created everything, including mankind. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Do you guys realize that? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, God said, suitable for him. God made woman from the rib of Adam. And then he told them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And then God said, it was very good. He never said that before. When he created the heavens and the moon and the stars and the sun, he said, it's good. But when he made man and woman, he said, it's very good. This time, what God had made was very special and very different. So Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Sounds like a great plan, living in the garden, to be able to see it. And we will someday. But it went sideways when Eve and Adam listened to the serpent and ate the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because of this, God put a curse on them. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He, her child, will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And to Eve, he said, and I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. Thanks, loads. With pain, you will give birth to children. And then God put them outside of the garden, never to return. As she became, and she became a mother, her firstborn was Cain, and next was Abel. So I've heard this little truism, I'm sure you have too, where having children is your biggest pain and your most profound joy. And you know, we experience that in life, and it can be we're dealing with people, aren't we? And we're dealing with fallen people. Just because they're yours doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. So Eve experienced this herself, the joy of having a child and living up to her name, the mother of all living. Then she experienced the pain and the grief of having her son Cain kill her other son Abel out of a vicious rage, a jealous rage. And then God gave Eve another baby, Seth. So another one of my favorite mom stories is found in 1 Samuel 1. It's a story of Hannah. And she was married to a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives. And during that time, polygamy was happening. It was not God's choice. It was man's choice. And because having one wife is hard enough, right, guys? One at a time. And so in that culture, they wanted lots of babies. And so they thought, more wives, more babies. Because these children were raised up to do the work, help dad, provide, take care. And it was also his lineage. He had a guaranteed inheritance for his future and his name. And name was big, big time. Very important to have your name go on and on and on. And so Hannah was barren, and Peninnah was fertile myrtle. And she would torment Hannah because she could not have babies. And she would just rub it right in her face that she was barren and Peninnah was busy having babies. As usual, they went to worship at Shiloh, which was where the temple was. And Hannah was found by the priest Eli. She was earnestly praying for a child. But Eli thought she was drunk because she wasn't saying her words out loud. She was mouthing them. And so he called her, you know, you shouldn't be drinking, you know, here. And Hannah said, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord.
Jesus.
I have been praying here out of my great anguish and my grief, the grief of being barren, the grief of being a failure in her society. And they were shamed. If you did not have children, there was, as a matter of fact, if you did not have, couldn't have children, your husband had the right to divorce you. And so that was hanging over her head too. So go in peace, Eli said, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a little boy. And she named him Samuel, which means, because I asked the Lord for him. In return of this great joy that Hannah experienced, she gave her son back to the Lord. And when he was weaned, she took him back to Shiloh, to the priest Eli, and she left him there. And all his days, he was going to serve the Lord. Each year, Hannah would go up to Shiloh and because she would make a little coat for Samuel every year, a new coat and a visit with her boy. Later on, Hannah, she got kind of the hang of having babies, and she went on to have three boys and two girls after Samuel. Now, I'm not sure that I could give my baby away. I'm not that kind of a mom, right? Even if they were to serve the Lord, well, maybe a little. Once I got my hands on my babies, there was nothing going to take them away. As a matter of fact, I remember laying in that in the bed. I just had Melody. Yeah, I had Melody. I had Melody, and she was sleeping right next to me in the bed, and the room was dark. And this nurse had come in, and she had put her hand on my baby, and this arm came up like this. She was not going to get my baby. But she was waking me up out of a sound sleep, and it was like, even then, I had this protection. You're not going to take my baby. And she grabbed my hand, and she goes, it's okay, Mrs. Malik. You just need to see if your baby's okay. We're going to take her into the nursery and bring her back to you. Okay. You got it. You know, God tells us that he feels that same way about us. He says, nothing is going to snatch you out of my hand. And there is nothing that can separate me and you from the love of Christ. There's nothing that is going to separate us. So here are some quotes to help you understand how people feel about motherhood. Moms are like glue. Even when you don't see them, they're still holding the family together. Is that right? Man. Motherhood is the exquisite inconvenience of being another person's everything. I love that one. Motherhood is the biggest gamble in the world. It is the glorious life force. It's huge and scary. It's an act of infinite optimism by Gilda Radner. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. That was Abraham Lincoln. And I can so relate to that, because when my mother died, the people that would call and give their condolences said, you know, your mother was an angel. And, you know, I had heard that over and over. And it was like, okay, I did not see her that way. And I thought, what was I missing? And it wasn't only until I had children did I understand her sacrifice and her burden that she carried. She had two disabled children. And then there was me. But I became disabled emotionally because she was with them all the time. And I felt so angry that they got all the attention. Well, they needed the attention. I understand that now. But I felt so rejected and neglected that I became very angry. And like I say, God turned my head around when I had children of my own. And thank God he gave his life for me that I could be born again. Mm-hmm. A new woman, a new kind of a mom, a new kind of a mother. You know, that's something that came along with when Jesus changed my heart, was that I became new and a better model, better mommy. A mother understands what a child does not say. That is a Jewish proverb. And that's that intuitiveness that mothers, you know, kids can say well, when they're first talking, it's kind of gibberish. But moms understand it. They know what they want. They know what they need. They watch them. They understand. They listen. They're always looking for cues to better understand their child. And that's that intuition that God has put into the heart of a mother for her baby. There is no influence so powerful as that of a mother by Sarah Josepha Hale. And that's the end of those quotes. But most importantly, a mother is one person with superhuman abilities. She can survive on 3 hours of sleep. She is a skilled professional with expertise in finances, medicine, negotiation, and the culinary arts. Besides that, she believes in you totally. So most importantly and laughingly, I told my grandkids, you know, without me, you wouldn't even be here. They gave me a strange look. And someday they will understand, just like I understood. It took me a long time to realize that there have been many moms in my heritage, many moms in each one of your heritages, for me to be here. And this, that very fact, can be traced all the way back to Eve. And so we can't be too down on Eve, because we share her love for her children. So in Matthew 1, we find the angel Gabriel announcing to the Virgin Mary that she was going to give birth to a son conceived by the Holy Spirit. They were to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And what was her response to the news?
Yeah.
She said, I am the Lord's servant. This was a little 13, 14, 15-year-old child. She was a child. And she surrendered her will to the Father's will and became his servant. And she said, may it be to me according to what you have said. I'm all yours. Mary went to visit her aunt Elizabeth to share the news, but Elizabeth had news of her own. She and Zechariah were advanced in age, and she was barren throughout their marriage. But God heard their prayers. They had been praying for a baby all those years. You know, and sometimes when we give up on needing something, that's when we get it. It's a gift. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 127 says that children are a reward from God to us. But God heard their prayers, and Elizabeth conceived and was going to have a son. So when Mary went to tell her the news, she was 6 months pregnant. She was already showing. They were to call his name John, and he would prepare the way for the Lord. And he was known as John the Baptist. And Elizabeth, I love her saying, there is nothing too difficult for God. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Little did either of these two mothers know what was to become of their precious sons in their later lives. A census was called, and Joseph took Mary, who was near her birthing time, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They traveled 90 miles, and they did it in about a week. There was no room for them at the inn, but they did have a cave for their livestock. And thank goodness there was a little manger there that had dry straw, because that's where that baby was going to be laid. What do you think Mary had with her when she was traveling that 90 miles? What could she take with her to prepare for her birth? She knew it was imminent. She was very advanced. And she had to take care of this baby. She had to have those things. But she also had to carry it. So it had to be light, right? The Bible does not go into much detail about the delivery or the aftercare, but we do know that Jesus was born just like he was supposed to, according to the prophecy. John 16:21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. You know, whatever she lacked, God carried through the plan of having Jesus born of a little virgin baby girl herself. And he was fulfilling prophecy that was spoken back in Isaiah, back when Eve was there. God was speaking about this plan of bringing Jesus into the world. Jesus grew up. He became a man, and he followed in his Father's footsteps. And that's a capital F, Father, Father God's footsteps. And those steps would ultimately lead him to the cross on which he died. And, you know, one thing I was teaching the kids in Sunday school was that, you know, Jesus was just like you and me when he was here on earth. I mean, he had a bloody nose when he got hit. He had a scratch or a thorn in his finger when he was playing with the kids down the street. He got his feelings hurt. He caught cold. He had to blow his nose just like we do. But those things helped him understand us and our life and what we go through. And so it was perfect that Jesus came and he was with us, God with us, Emmanuel. And he could resonate with what we were going through. That's what makes him perfect. He's our perfect Jesus, our perfect God with us, our perfect Savior. So let's back up to Eve, okay? That curse that God declared at the fall of mankind was now being fulfilled on the cross of Christ. When God said, "You will strike his heel," refers that Satan's attempts, repeated attempts to defeat Jesus during his lifetime here on earth. He was after Christ. He did everything in his power to bring Jesus to an end. And then the crushing Satan's head, the phrase, "He will crush your head," is a foreshadowing of Satan's defeat when Jesus rose from the tomb. And so crushing Satan's head was a fatal blow. Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead was a crushing blow to Satan's head. And the problem being is he's dead. He just doesn't believe it yet. But he will someday. Mary was with Jesus at his birth, and she loved him. She cared for him. She protected him. She watched over him. And she healed him, and she helped him, and she held him. And now she was with him when he died on the cross. And John 19:25 says that near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And then when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, do you know who that is? The disciple Jesus loved. John. It was John. And he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home, and she became his mother. Before he died, Jesus honored his mother by putting her into the care of his disciple, John. Jesus knew this truth, that once a mom, always a mom, forever. So God bless you on your day, that you celebrate this day. Moms are so special, and you have been given the gift of motherhood. And it's been going on since Eve, okay? You're doing what you're supposed to do. So before we pray, would anyone like to share a mom memory in honor of your mom or maybe your own? Guys can say it too. We all have moms here, huh? Nobody has a mom? I know you loved your mom.
Yeah, I just think of her. And she would do anything for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, she always had an optimistic viewpoint. You know, I was never, you know, Well, it was kind of to her detriment a little bit too. Like, she always had my back, no matter what.
I'm sure she sweated a few times with you.
She's always worried about me and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She called me her wild child.
So yeah. You're already describing necessary qualities of a mom. You know, we raise them up, we let them go, we sweat the bad stuff, we enjoy the good stuff. Brandon.
My mom was always generous, even to
strangers. Oh, she was a beautiful woman. I've seen her picture.
Even to strangers.
Yes. Yes. That's beautiful, that compassion. You know what's neat about that? All those things that, all these adjectives that we use for moms, those are all adjectives of God. Because you can, you, that's how he relates to us. And I've always enjoyed that, the verse where it says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if I could only take you and hover over you like a hen protects her chicks. Her, that mother love, that's how he sees us. He wants to protect us. Anyone else? Teresa.
So, you know, we've been moving and stuff, and I found this thing that's solid. It's like in second grade about his mom. The upshot was, it was like, you know, what is your mom's favorite thing? Blah, 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 right? The upshot was Solomon's mom likes to sit on the couch and eat cake.
That's what I love about children. They're so honest. So real. Right. Maybe one more? Some brave person? Yes, Jerry.
My mother was raised in West Texas, Depression there, and she had 10 brothers and sisters. And when she was about 15 or so, her mother died. She was the oldest girl in the family. So she became the mother and went to school and raised the kids and all. And that was in Depression there. She was very harsh, right? And then when she got into her 20s, she left there and came out to California, where she met my father. Mm. Basically, we had two families, but the one memory I have of her was when I was over here in Arcata in second grade, Sunset Elementary. I came home one day and said, Ma, the girls are hitting us, guys, and then they're saying we can't hit them back because they're a girl. Well, Mom got down to my level, looked me in the eyes and she goes, those girls hit you, you hit them back. You hit them back harder.
Yes. I love that.
But were you the one that got in trouble though?
No one got in trouble in those days, that sort of thing.
You'd always say, hey, it's okay with my mom, it's okay with me.
Yeah, try and get away with that now.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, going through hardships, like you were talking about depression, my mom was in the depression, my dad was too. They had a different set of values, a different set of coping mechanisms, a different, just, they were just so different because they had to be, they adapted. And that's another thing that moms do. We adapt to our little babies, to our children, the things that they need, the things that are good for them. We want to push that into their lives. God is the same. You know, he wants to, for you to succeed. He wants to provide and protect and pursue you. And all he asks is your love back. Pretty exciting.
Gives you all the chances too. He's got
it on my hands. Yeah. Yes, amen. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for this day that we can celebrate moms. And you've provided so many examples through your word that we can hang on to and really enjoy. And, Lord, we celebrate you that you provided exactly what we needed. And Lord, help us to honor our mother and fathers, that it may go well with us, and that we will live long in the land. So, Lord, we praise you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today at Coastline Church. To find out more information, please visit coastline4square.com.